Online at thiswayout.org and on 4NSA Noosa, Queensland, WJSC Johnson, Vermont, KOOP Austin, Texas, and on more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
Indeed, this is your community radio station, KBOO Portland, and the time is right about 7 p.m., and next will be Calculated Conversation. Stay tuned.
KBOO is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting and the many people who are part of KBOO's history.
I came down to the Salmon Street Studios, where the federal courthouse is, the first official home of KBOO.
Came into this rather bizarre situation where we were in the basement of an attorney's office.
And at that meeting, he said, well, I'm just going to let you know that when your lease is up in about 18 months, we will not renew your lease. We will extend it for up to 6 months at double the rent.
When I was hired, they said, we want to be on the air by the end of July. I went, whoa, how much money do we have to pull this off? And they said, yeah, we got $11,000. How are we going to build this facility with $11,000?
To hear the stories of people who helped make KBOO what it is today, go to 50yearsofkboo.fm and click on KBOO Stories Project.
First off, they'll say what it is, a festival.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about the first annual Best of the Northwest Vernonia Springs Music Festival. It's going to take place on July 7th, 2018. KBOO is our co-sponsor, and our headliners are Lloyd Jones and Baby Gramps.
Sometimes known as Sourdough Dolly.
Let's do your pimple purge of that good old Mountain Dew.
www.vernoniasprings.com/VSMF. To learn more, go to kboo.fm.
And people think, he's so old, he squeaks. And I will prove that.
Look for the Vernonia Springs Music Festival.
And I'd like to convert it into a bedlam of jive. Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself.
Welcome back. You got the Calculated Conversation show. We got a dope show ahead for you today.
Yes.
I'm David Jefferson. My guy Ken Jones is once again in the house, your co-host.
Yes.
You know, we got DJ OG1 in the house. I told y'all last weekend he was coming, man. I told y'all.
I'm here,
he was
man.
Coming, man.
And hey, look, let's do the proper. It's the official DJ.
Oh, right.
We got producer. Author. Yeah. Philanthropist. If you went to his website, he do his model thing on the side.
No.
We got community leader, Mr. Top of Section 225 himself.
No, for real. Before you can talk to OG1, man, we got to let him know a little bit about you, man, just in case, you know, anybody might be confused or they might be too young. You know what I'm saying? So, OG1 is the official Portland Trailblazer DJ.
Yes.
DJing well over 30 years. Up out of West California, came to Portland and just been putting it down ever since. I mean, really, literally did everything, man. Rock with several old school artists, high profile artists, Chris Brown, Rihanna, Neo, Floetry,
right.
Rakim, E-40, I mean, Snoop.
Wiggling.
I mean, even more legendary artists if you got a little bit of gray in your beard, like Cameo, Keith Sweat, CC Winers, The Bars, like all these legends, though, man. It's crazy. And so he a force to be reckoned with in the music business, but even more than that, a force to be reckoned with in the sneaker athlete relationship spectrum.
Oh.
Yeah, built great relationship ties with the likes of Michael Jordan, D. Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, yeah, and plenty more. Incredible partnerships with Brand Jordan, Nike, Adidas. Mm-hmm. One of the nationally selected group of DJs who got his own shoe through Adidas. And then Nike also dropped him a line in 2012.
Jesus.
Produced tracks for training videos for athletes like Layla Ali, Reggie Bush, speaker, mentor, educator, been mentoring kids and adults, man, over 30 freaking years, man.
Yeah.
OG, what don't you do, man? I'm looking for the part, yeah, where it say you cook soap, cut grass, yeah, and change oil.
I leave the cooking to the wife, man. She's the specialist. She's the all-star on that. That's one area that I'm like, I can, you know, make some hot dogs and some burgers and maybe some chicken.
Right.
But, you know, she's the expert on that.
Yeah, and so the bottom line is, man, you know, we're dealing with a legend, man, and it's a pleasure for us to, you know, be in his spectrum at the moment and him to spend the time, especially off that busy schedule. I looked at the
right
schedule. I was like, dang. I think he said a meeting with Obama or something. And he came to chop it up with us, man. And so we're going to break it down, man. How you doing, OG1?
Man, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed to be here, man, to be alive and being able to hang out with some good brothers, man. So that's always a good thing, man.
Man,
so thank you for having me.
Oh man, we appreciate it, man. We got about an hour, so we're not gonna do phone calls probably till towards the end, maybe the last 15 minutes or so, in case somebody want to ask a question or, you know, show some love and whatnot.
Yes.
And so, man, let's get started, man. I got a couple of things I want to ask you about. Okay. Cam might as well. I'll get it started. So you've been DJing a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You found reasonable amount of success and literally almost every imaginable aspect in this industry, mm-hmm, you know, through all the things you built and your networks and whatnot. So you got plenty of good qualities, obviously, but is it possible you can, is there any quality that you have that's been a little bit more prevalent than the other in your ability to create this massive energy around you and be successful? Is there any one quality that you would say
Well, I think the number one for me, man, is coming to the understanding that all the gifts or talents or my ability to connect with people stems from a gift from God, man. You know, at being at the foundation and understanding the importance of that relationship above, and then how once that's solid, man, for me, everything else has fallen in place.
Man.
Nice. Man. That's pretty simple.
Yeah. Man. I like to keep things very basic, not really heavy philosophical.
Yeah.
I think it all starts, you know, with relationships, you know, my relationships with my creator. And then once you have that and you understand the importance of, again, I'm talking for me, once I understood the magnitude of that and the accountability that comes with that, it gives you the context on how you deal with people.
Right.
Absolutely. Because then now it's not all about, you know, what you can get from people or what people can do for you. It's about service to people and, you know, stacking up. We always talk about in the about stacking them chips.
Mm. Right.
I got some eternal chips I'm trying to stack.
Exactly.
You see what I mean? And so it becomes a reflection on how I deal with people.
Absolutely.
So in coming into that, you know, was there a transition that, or was this always your stance, or was it something that, you know, you hit a transition and it became easier as you went along, or did you already have like just a natural, some people just have it, like they have conversations, can make connections, walk in a room and leave everybody's friend.
Right.
Was that you to begin with?
No, okay. It wasn't me. That was something, again, like I had, you know, God had to make me aware of it.
Okay.
And it came through trial and error, you know, a lot of miscalculations.
Right.
In my life, you know, growing up without a father and, you know, kind of some guidance as a young person. So a lot of stuff I had to try to figure out myself.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got the understanding that, you know, it was okay to seek counsel. You know, even with my belief in God and all that stuff, God puts people in your surroundings, in your life, that it was okay for me to touch bases with people that were older than me, that had more knowledge and experience than me, and not feel like it was going to take away power from me, that it actually was empowering me to leverage it, those relationships, and absorb that knowledge and wisdom. And that's really the number one reason why I've had the success that I have, is because I absorbed that knowledge, and then I wasn't afraid to pass that on to other people.
Right.
I wasn't afraid to share. It wasn't taking anything for me. It actually enhanced everything in my life when I did that.
Yeah, I got this, I hold on to this idea that it's a kind of a major myth in society that says you can't really get, you can't really succeed, you can't really take any steps forward unless you are somehow pulling other people back. And I think they are not, they're hiding the fact and not disclosing the fact that you get further by actually pushing other people further.
Oh, definitely.
Is that you? I think you kind of told me something about that too.
Man, you know, I you know, again, like I said, I like to deal with things very simply. Like, I give an example. Years ago, there was a couple of young gentlemen that were from Africa that were brought to the States by their family, and, you know, really had, you know, trouble with the language and, you know, kind of adapting. And at the time, I was running a mentoring program called Gang Peace. And you know, just investing the time, you know, unselfishly investing the time, dealing with the, you know, they were some knuckleheads and stuff, but, you know, understanding their value. And it was like, okay, no, I'm investing in these young men. I don't know, I'm not guaranteed that anything will come out of it in terms of where they'll go in their life.
Yeah.
And I did that for years, actually, all the way up into their adulthood. Huh. Now, I never expected anything. These young men are, you know, doing good things. They have families and stuff now. And I had one of them come to me one day and say, you know, hey, you know, my parents really appreciate what you did for us. You had no idea of the impact you had on our lives. And I'm like, okay, no, right. It was my honor, you know,
right.
Everything's good. I'm glad you guys are doing great, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result, they own land in Africa. And their parents gave me a piece of their land and said, you just have to go to Africa and pick it out. What you want to do with it. Now, I didn't know that when I was investing that time when they were kids in elementary and middle school.
Right.
But that's just one example of how the payoff, believing in someone and not being afraid to instill and empower other people, that's just an example of some things that can happen.
Right.
I have kids that are doctors now. I got kids that, you know, are successful models and business people that now they calling me and saying, hey, you know, let me help you with this and that. And I'm like, okay, dope. But that was an investment, you know, over 10, 15 years ago with some of them. Right. And now I reap the benefits not only of being able to see them being successful, but I actually get to reap some benefits off of it, you know, personally. That's not why I did it, but that's just an example. So that's how I walk. And that's the thing I promote with people. I say, you never know when you touch somebody's life, you never know what the end result is going to be. So why wouldn't you take the time to invest?
Right.
The next person that cuts you off on the street and you go up and you want to beat them up, that might be the very person that can be the decision maker on a move you're trying to make one way or the other.
Man.
Right.
Man,
that's real though, man.
That's real, and that's very practical. Notice I knew no philosophical nothing. Right. I didn't refer you to a book or anything.
Right.
It's plain and simple mathematics in terms of relationship building and being smart and valuing people, no matter what status they have. I treat the person that is, you know, the janitor in the school the same as I do if I'm talking to Michael Jordan.
Righteous.
Right.
I think that's the truth, because I think meeting you the first time years ago, just in passing, I had no idea who you were. None of the status, titles, none of that. and the vibe was good. And every time since then, it was up, even if it's just a quick in passing. You know what I mean? You walk through this door, same thing as before.
Right.
And I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Like, as you said, it's just, it's no matter what level it is. And I think that definitely comes back. We've talked about that before, as people, you know, your consistency with mm-hmm. just being who you are.
Right.
And how it's easier for people to align with that because they right. know what they're getting from you,
right.
no matter what situation you're in.
Yeah, you know? I'm a true believer that if you're truly yourself and you're being yourself, you don't have to act like anything.
Right.
And what you said was very true. You know, I have a lot of titles uh-huh. that I can have, and in certain arenas, those things add certain market value.
Righteous.
But that's exactly what it does, market value. That doesn't necessarily always mean that it adds character value.
Mm, right.
Mm. And so I'm a true believer in character value that will succeed when you lose those titles.
Absolutely.
So one day I'm not going to be the official DJ for the Portland Trailblazers. Mm. Then all of a sudden, does my value as a person go down? My market value might go down, uh-huh. but my character value will stay consistent.
Consistency.
And that's more important to me than any of those titles. That's why I don't really care about titles. I only care about titles in so much that it helps me impact the life of somebody else.
Right, because that's what they attract to. And so you yeah, kind
of it's the carrot.
Get them from that angle.
It's yeah. the carrot for me.
Right, right, exactly.
It's like
exactly.
If, you know, being an NBA DJ or, you know, being on stage with, you know, Jay-Z or, you know, any top celebrity or doing parties for Michael Jordan only benefits me, then that's a tragedy.
Right, right.
That's a tragedy. So, yeah.
Yeah, I had this, it reminded me of when I first got into the clothing industry, you know, and it had gotten really popular. And I thought all I was here to do was create clothes and build brands and stuff. And then I noticed the relationships I was building. And then it became bigger than that. And then I realized, oh, that was just a carrot.
Right.
You know what I mean? To bring people in so I can possibly get them to this other place that the universe want me to get people to. You feel the same way? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, man. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I knew at a young age, man, growing up in Watts and having to survive the gangs and all that kind of stuff and knowing the void that I had as a young man, no matter how I fronted, you know, out of survival instincts, right. you know, fronted to be a particular way that nothing bothered me and right. and all that kind of thing. I knew in my heart, you know, that it was a void there. I was missing some things. Mm-hmm. And so as I grew and started transitioning out of the gang stuff, you know, I thought in my mind, if I feel this way, how many other black young men feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
And so what is my responsibility as a black man to contribute back to hopefully change the narrative for somebody else?
Right.
Jeez.
Possibly redefining the whole idea of what people think success is. It's kind of yes. something that I care about. I think mm-hmm. I feel like just the definition we have where we come from, I think it's just flawed.
Yeah,
you know,
benchmarks.
And as long as but we place a lot of value on it because we think that is accurate.
Yeah,
and
no,
so
you're right.
So it ain't necessarily about all the, you know, I don't know. It ain't really about all the money and all the extra things. It's more about that's just the definition that was kind of put on us. You
yeah.
know, always having a bad female with you, or always yep. having a nice car in your yeah. video, or always having cash in your video shoot, like
right.
that's how to define
yeah.
it. I'm successful,
yeah.
And if maybe we can switch that around and make it more of a, you think maybe more of a character thing, like a
yeah,
more
right.
mental thing, like a
right.
more loving, more caring idea, then we all get further as a people.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely right. I actually, it's interesting you brought that up. Years ago in my career as a DJ, as I started kind of studying, okay, what is the, you know, because I was doing a lot of work, but there was a point in my life where it was like, okay, I'm doing all these shows and concerts, but I'm here in Portland. How do I, you know, raise my market value? And I started looking at other DJs and I'm like, okay, well, you got DJs that got the models in pictures and mm-hmm. you got, oh, they doing these things. And I was like, in my heart, I knew, that ain't it. But right. I just wanted to test the waters. Mm-hmm. So I had like photo shoots that, you know, friends of mine that are models and, you know, I would take pictures with models. Let me say, let me see what this is really about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put myself in a position where some of those external things that draw young people, let me see what the real value in that is. And I realized by going through some of that stuff, I mean, you know, even like, you know, the whole thing, you know, being a sneakerhead and being able to do get on this show and this, uh-huh. this and that. And after all was said and done, after I had over thousands of pairs of sneakers that companies would send me, literally thousands of pairs of shoes and gear. Like I went, I can probably within the last 2 years, I've actually bought some clothes for myself. Most of the stuff I've gotten has been shipped to me or given to me by companies or whatever. And, but for young people, that's a big deal. Oh right. man, I come right. in, I walk down, man, oh, got the latest this and this. And at first I was like, man, that's so dope, that's cool. But then again, the question became, well, if that only impacts you, so what? That's mm-hmm. a tragedy. What happens if you don't have those shoes no more? Mm-hmm. What happens if you're not on stage with the big celebrities anymore? Mm-hmm. What value did you add to anybody else? Mm-hmm. So then my mindset switched to, okay, well, I have access to these things and I have these, so I can't, like, this ain't cool stuff. Right. But now how do I use it to impact? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, it changed from just me being able to acquire and get sponsorships and all this to, okay, now that a kid sees me driving in a brand new car that was sponsored by a car dealership, I can pull that brother inside and say, now, you see, this is dope, right? Yes. Here's how I got it. Right. Here are the things that I did. Here's how I dealt with people, mm-hmm. how I talked to people. So the next time you go, you're riding on the Max and you go to cuss somebody out, that might be a billionaire that just is right on the Max.
Right.
That dress is ain't bling blinged up and whatever.
Right.
And you about to disrespect them. And they looking at you like, I can give you opportunity. Right. So I leverage those things, you know, to, you know, educate and show young people and young men and young adults
right.
that, you know, there's value in character than it is the acquiring of things.
OG, I kind of feel like when I think about, you know, energy and utilizing it and mastering it, I kind of feel like we all in the equivalent of maybe a college basketball player or something playing in front of scouts that he can't see.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and always keeping that in your mind that you really never know who's around or who's who. And right. like judging people externally could put you in tough positions. And I think society always has us grasp on tightly. And I think it damages us when we come with this, I don't care what nobody think attitude.
Right,
that's
right.
one of the things I never did appreciate about where we come from.
Right.
That I don't care attitude.
Yeah.
And people hold on to that dearly as if it makes them, you know, a better person or is actually benefiting them in some way.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, and I know what that feels like. As a young person, I grew up, again, growing up.
They taught us that.
You know, yeah, and culturally, we've used that as a defense mechanism mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to say, okay, if I can tell you first that I don't care what you think about me, then if I run into that reality, I'm guarded.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
And that's not real life. That's not real life. And even as a man growing into manhood, I mean, you think we're taught not to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Right.
Like the vulnerability is weakness, you know, particularly towards our sisters, you know, our women. So we got to be tough and can't be, you know,
right.
emotional and
can't
all that kind of, you can't be a sucker.
Right.
You know,
right.
come on, you can't be all that. And once you, as you grow, you realize that mm-hmm. all that stuff is actual weakness. Like we've
right.
been created to have emotions and feelings and being vulnerable.
Right.
And I've noticed that the more I've let those chains that, you know, society tends to put on us, I let that go, the more freer I am.
Right.
The more secure I am as a man.
Yeah,
right. I'm no longer fearing my brothers and being able to say things like, man, I love my wife, man.
That's straight up.
Like,
man.
I really love my wife. I really love my daughter. And it's not masculine, you know, the toughness. It's mm-hmm. like, nah. Like, when my wife walks in the room, you know, I feel a particular way.
Right.
And not being afraid to tell another brother that. That's right. You know.
Right.
And it's like a certain level of freedom in that, because you don't feel like you holding in, you don't have to play a role, and it's like, I'm just going to give it to you how it is and let it play itself out. I'm comfortable now. Right. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of benefits in being transparent like that, yeah. And it's definitely self-freeing in a lot of ways. But
yeah. I feel like it's the same. It almost does the same, as far as, you know, how you said putting up front that I don't care about nothing.
Right.
But the flip side of that is I do care about stuff.
I do care about stuff. But I can't tell you I care when I'm weak.
I do.
But the thing is, if using that on the flip side of, like, I can't, what? You gonna make no? You're not gonna make me feel bad for feeling this
right, type. Right, right.
You know
what I mean? I don't care that you know I care.
Right.
Exactly. How about that?
I've learned to be in a place where, you know, one of the statements that I often say is my legacy doesn't depend on the opinions of those that don't matter. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Swish. And so, you know, if you're not someone who I feel that has an my best interest in mind, why should I really value what you have to say exactly. to me?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, I just want to absorb the energy and the words and the wisdom from people that I feel that really have my best interest in mind. It has nothing to do with monetary or business or anything like that. But you can tell when you run across those people that are not threatened by you, that they mm-hmm. really want to see you win.
Right.
And so I don't worry. I don't really pay. I notice that when I focus on that, when negative stuff come around, I don't even recognize it.
Right.
Somebody has to come and say, hey, man, somebody don't like you. I'm like, really?
That's weird. Okay.
Listeners, I hope you guys are jotting this down.
Right.
These are jewels being dropped. Open your treasure chest and let them flow in.
So I got another question, man. I wanted to. Well, I mean, I already know because we talked about it, man. I bumped into you at the Rose Festival, and I was just walking by, and I was like, man, they playing some cuts in here early for breakfast. I knew something was up, man. I walked in there, and I was like, that's OG Fun over there. I should have known by now, man.
I was still wiping the stuff out of my eyes, like, dang, they turning up early.
Yeah, so I chopped it up with you, man, and it was the most amazing conversation, man, that we didn't had a chance to have since mm-hmm. we known each other. I don't know if you remember, but I was trying to do mm-hmm. something like this a couple years ago. I told you too first.
Yeah.
Then I hit you up, OG1. Right. I talked to Cool Nuts and a few. I even talked to Star Child about it, man. Yeah. And I was trying to get us all together to have these talks, but mm-hmm. But what we talked about was, you know, you already touched on it a little bit, but I got mm-hmm. a little bit of a deeper question as far as like hip hop artists. I know you got the Hip Hop Day coming up, right?
Right. Mm.
Okay.
August 26th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, August 26th, Hip Hop Day at the mayor's office?
It's City Hall.
City Hall, okay. And so you talked about community love. We talked about the importance of knowing how to cultivate relationships through networking and mm-hmm. the business community. And because I know you've rubbed shoulders with, you know, people at the common level, millionaires, probably walked past a couple billionaires, I bet.
A couple billion.
And you've been to some important meetings, man. And like he said, through it all, you remain consistent and you treat every relationship as if it's important.
Yeah.
And so my thing is that, I understand that you was kind of hinting to me that this lack of awareness can be a major setback. For a lot of artists in the industry because they don't understand the importance of it or the correlation between humility, relationships, love, and ultimately their own personal success and goals and how that ties in.
Right.
And so, like, you're able to touch on, like, what do you think, like, what can the upcoming artists and the people that's trying to network, they want to get involved, they want to do things, what are they doing wrong? And, I mean, what things can they add to their character that would help them open these doors? What don't they know?
Well, I mean, the bottom line of it is it's mindset. Mm-hmm. It's mindset. And we talked about it in other ways, but we've been taught to think about business and particularly if it's specifically the music business a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And I take Portland specifically in the hip hop community. We have tons of talent. Like, we got talent that can compete on all levels.
Right. I've seen it.
Like, right here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right here. And the proof of that is in some of the people that have had to step out of Portland.
Right.
You know, I look at people like Bosco.
Mm-hmm.
Bosco, platinum producer.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum producer.
Right.
creating like trends and all this on doing amazing things, but why as a collective community we don't celebrate him? You know, Kool Nuts, you know, that is really, I consider, a pioneer of hip hop in Portland, has been consistent.
Man,
over decades since I've been here.
Right.
And whether you like his music or not, you have to respect his work ethics and the things that he's done, not only just for his career, but the doors he's opened up for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. again, it goes back to mindset. I am not threatened by Kool Nuts. I remember the first time I talked to Kool Nuts, which was at K Boo. Mm-hmm. He was doing a show back in the day. And I remember all I heard was, you have to, if you wanna do something in Portland, you gotta go through Kool Nuts. You gotta go through Kool Nuts. And I was like, who is this brother Kool Nuts? Not like, who is this brother Kool Nuts? It was like, who is this dude? Like, I need to talk to him. Like, yeah, if that he's that dude, I need to talk to him. I remember, and when I sat down with him, I said, man, you know, I don't feel like I have to go through you to do the things that I need to do, but I want to work with you. Like, you have a wealth of knowledge. You know the turf and the, you know, the process here in Portland, man. Mm-hmm. I want to absorb as much information from you as I can. So what needs to happen for that to happen? And ever since then, me and him have clicked. Anytime I need to know something, something I didn't know about the industry or whatever, I pick up the phone and say, Nuts. Mm. Hey man, I'm thinking about this, or what about this? And it wasn't a threat to me. I didn't feel like, okay, now he's gonna think he's the boss of me, or he gonna think he this. And I'm like, but I run into people that think that way. Yeah. As talented as all get out, but they are in their own way simply because they don't want to humble themselves,
right,
and say that I don't know everything.
Mm. Right.
I don't know everything. If I knew everything, I'd already be, you know, above Jay-Z,
right?
If I knew all that I know. So how about just settling down and saying it's okay to ask, but with that, I'm also willing to give first. I'm also willing to set the example of what I would expect somebody to do for me. So if I wanted somebody to open the doors for me, I have to be willing to open the doors for other people.
Right.
It's crazy how simple that sounds, but how foreign that ideology is and
simple
out here. But it's
it comes down to mindset. I have to value you first,
right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to feel like, okay, this person is worth me opening doors,
right,
or trusting him or getting information.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to bring that value back, because here's what's so crazy: we're giving that value to somebody,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it don't look like people like us.
Mm.
Tell them.
Deep.
I'm really again, I'm taking this in.
Right.
In
right.
the same way, I'm almost forgetting that.
Like, say for example, Hip Hop Day. We talked about hip hop.
We did.
Day. Okay.
Hip Hop Day, August 26th. And me and my boy Star Child spent almost 2 years, you know, going at it with City Hall, like the people at City Hall, about the treatment of the hip hop community, business wise, police relationships, all that stuff. We spent almost 2 years.
Right.
As a result,
I remember that.
As a result, Hip Hop Day was born.
Mm.
As a result. And that was just as a really a launch for the city of City Hall to say, we want to at least send a clear message that we're not against hip hop, we're against people not being accountable.
Right.
So let this be a mark, but then let's continue the dialogue. Mm-hmm. We don't want this to be a token, like, okay, we're giving you guys a day,
right,
and then we just kind of continue, you know, the same behaviors or mindset. Now, right, with that, you have a bunch of people in the hip hop community ain't put in none of the work, ain't been in none of those meetings,
right,
but they're sitting back and they have opinions.
Right.
That they want to be valued,
yeah. Oh, right, yeah,
and respected, but they're not coming to the table.
Oh, yeah.
They won't come to the table, but they're set back with their opinion remote and say stuff. And I'm calling them to the table. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this ain't about OG. This ain't about Star Child. This is about us.
Mm.
So come and show the city how much you value this culture that you say that some of you guys are eating off of.
Man.
You're taking advantage of it, but you're not investing back in it. It ain't about you being on the show. I'm not even on the bill for Hip Hop Day. My, you don't see, if you see any posting, you don't see my name, OG1, on the bill. I'm not going to even DJ. This is about showcasing and honoring and recognizing pillars in the community, giving young artists that are coming up, as well as showing them some of the vets, you know, how it's done, but showing our community as a whole how much we value this culture and treasure this culture.
Right.
Now, I got some of the very people that I'm honoring that day that's not on the bill performing that I'm honoring, and they talking trash on social media. Now, I have a choice. I have a choice. Now, some people in my position would be like, oh, really?
Right.
To hell with you. I ain't giving you nothing.
Right.
Total opposite, man. I got to show them love. I got to show them love because I understand it's a mindset and it's a conditioning.
Yeah. Right.
So my goal for a Hip Hop Day is to show people what love looks like. If you want to know what love in hip hop, not love the hip hop at the show, but I'm saying love in hip hop.
Yes. Right.
It's supposed to feel like and what it's supposed to look like, show up.
Absolutely.
See, I think that's dope in the sense, just even with this show, the basis and the premise of this is these conversations. Is at the root of everything is information, right? You don't know what you don't know. Simple as that is, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And having these conversations and having them at the ground level and speaking the language in which the people in our demographic and outside, but speaking to the people who look like this, who look at us and assume something, you know, and to be able to have these conversations and open this up, I think this is a big part of it. Is being able to spread that, like what you're doing, is it's an example. It's not just sitting back. You know, me and him could be sitting at home just thinking these thoughts, making a post here or there, sharing a meme. But as opposed to that, we're taking our time, making sure to sit down, write this stuff out, come here and share it. These are things, you know, in which we follow, make sure to let people know. Like with that, that the idea of you coming into this mode of acceptance of yourself, right? Like breaking out of the shell that we were taught as far as growing up to protect ourselves, protect our feelings, and so on. Coming into this mode wasn't an easy transition, I don't think, for none of us.
Right.
And even in that, still being in the transitioning mode, because it's one of those things you got to, it's not a day you wake up and it's like, oh, I'm here.
Right.
Like, no, it's a continual, but like you said, it's, you have a decision. And coming to those crossroads, it's I have a decision. Either I can go left with this or I can go right with this.
Yeah.
And it's being able to recognize that you do have a decision. And there's so many of us, I think, that were born, or not born, but brought up to act with our emotion as opposed to our logic.
Right.
And that's what gets a lot of us in trouble, because there's no second to ask ourselves, is this worth it?
Right.
Does this make sense? Am I going to get out of this anything beneficial?
Right.
And so we're acting off pure just go. Right. And how many times now afterwards we're sitting like, what did I do? Why did I, what was the point of that? You know, so again, it's having these conversations, just getting to the point of being able to bring this dialogue to people and get them to hear it, and also sharing our experiences like you are, like I, like he is, sharing these experiences so they can see that this isn't something we just pulling out of nowhere. You know, it's applicable. This is stuff that happens on our daily, in our daily lives, and where it's worked in our favor. And you know, we've done a good job of also showing where it didn't work.
I mean, we're you also, have to share those as well.
It can backfire, because we don't want people thinking like, oh, again, this is 100% of the time. No, this is the condition as far as how to get to a point where you can be okay with, at the end of it, you tried what you thought would work.
Right.
If it didn't work, okay, I'm going to try it again.
Note to self.
I'm going to try it again, make my little couple adjustments, or it could have just been that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In which you had that interaction. And then you dropped something earlier as far as looking at people as far as who may be a benefit, and not in a way of benefit financially and so on. Again, it can just be information.
Right.
It can be a conversation. Just sitting here, I've written three different things you said in my notes on here.
Right.
And that's something that I'm going to be able to take, digest, and expand on what those few lines were. And I'll be able to expand into a page to my own interpretation. Mm-hmm. Now I'll be able to regurgitate that in my own words to somebody and pass that on.
Right. Exactly.
And it's like just the value in that. This man can tell you the same thing with me and him. We sit here and have conversations sometimes. Again, I'm still a student in every arena. Mm-hmm. And we all are.
Yeah.
And so sitting here, there's times he's talking on the show and, you know, I'm lost in the moment. Like, I forgot I was a part of what's going on.
Absorbing. You know what I mean? Absorbing, yeah. Exactly.
So it's great to be able to, you know, be at a point to be able just to spread the information and not spread it from a point of, oh, I read this in a book. Like, yeah, I've learned stuff from books, plenty from books.
Yeah.
But taking that I figured in a book, applying that somewhere, now when I tell it to you, I'm able to put it in a context that's a lot more digestible for our community, for the people in which we come across. So
you're absolutely right. Just,
and that's part of the reason why that's wonderful, because that's why we call this thing calculated. You know, we're trying to get to a point to where people are actually calculating their thoughts and calculating their actions and understand the beauty of, you know, constructive energy. You know, just the beauty of relationships and actively building them, knowing what's going to result in the end.
Yeah.
No matter when it happens, we know that the universe is going to let things unfold properly. You know, and also, like you said, just not really being perfect about it, but more or less understanding the idea of being imperfect, you know, and breaking all that down and being okay with your effort. Like, I think it gets to a point to where the universe is actually okay with your effort, even if it didn't work out to the way you had calculated it. But your effort was consistent. It was based off thought, care, some logic, some heart. But, you know, and so it's not about just... It's really not about, man, just being a perfect individual, man. I just wanted to make sure that
I wanted to make sure you knew why we
call it calculated and what that actually means to us, you know. Yeah. But before we go on, man, we ain't got that much time, but I heard you mention Star Child.
Yeah.
And I wanted to touch bases with you a little bit, you know, for ourselves and maybe for the listeners. I mean, a lot of people had a lot of love and respect for him, and we know that he was your business partner in a lot of aspects, networking partner, running mate, your friend, but more importantly, became your family.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of like a little brother, you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So my thing here is that, you know, he left an amazing legacy, I feel like, for the city of Portland in his effort. I actually remember the first time I ever seen him, and I was like, who is this cocky little dude?
Yeah.
And this was years ago. Yeah. He was freestyling. This is way before he got on the radio. Yeah. Like, he was... He had to have been about a teenager.
The big hair and bone.
Yeah, you know, he would just freestyle, like, yeah, I'm going to be the best out here. I'm the best out here, period. That's how he was. I was like, you know, and he spit, and I was like, oh, he tight, though.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, he left a great legacy, man, you know, and I think he did a lot of work for the community, connections that he built, the success that he was formulating, and all the ideas and the love. And so, and I'm a big fan of legacy.
Yeah,
I'm a really big fan of that. I'm a firm believer that literally what I'm, even myself, but I feel like what I'm working for is not realistically my life. It's what's going to happen after my life is what I'm focused on. And I think he did a great job of that. You know, so I got this concept of love and death that I write about in my book, you know, and the correlation is literally the amount of love that you're giving, the amount of free love that you're showing people, you're showing society, the community, the things you're building, the ideas that you're allowing people to grasp onto and use in their own life, like he was just saying, is ultimately going to create how people are going to feel about you after death.
Right.
And we don't have a lot of time on this earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that this is a good chance to show, as well as much work as he's done and how great of a legacy he's left, I think this is a good time for people to realize this is why you got to do stuff for people. This is why you got to live for the community and live to be a giver, because Star Child is realistically going to be a part of Portland forever.
Yeah.
You know, and so I wanted you to touch on what, you know, like his work, his life, his legacy, his love.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I said this at his memorial service, that I met Star Child when he was in high school, and me and him connected through music. And for years, you know, I watched him grow into manhood, literally. And he watched, you know, my kids grow. into, you know, from before I had my last three kids, started watched all my last three kids grow. And one of the things that, you know, I said was that one of the things I learned from Star, you know, or years ago, is that how to really love somebody beyond their faults, mm-hmm. or their shortcomings.
Right.
Patience. I learned a lot of patience dealing with that dude, because Star was so witty and so calculated, mm-hmm. about a lot of the things that he did, that he almost had like a zero tolerance for BS.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that he and I always bumped heads on, it was like, it was kind of like I was the balance for him, because I was, you know, older than him, 10 years older than him. Mm-hmm. And so I would battle with him in creating that balance of, okay, man, you can't just chop people's heads off, mm-hmm. man, because they don't get it.
Right,
you know,
right.
You
that's,
have this
that's
vision.
Hard not to do.
Yeah, you're creative. He's such a creative person, man, that it was like he'd get frustrated because people didn't get it.
Mm.
You know, and so being able to watch him grow from, okay, I'm getting less and less frustrated with people, and I understand that I have to just put in the work and just kind of show people the vision, and hopefully they'll come around.
Mm.
And so his life was that. Those that were really growing in terms of understanding that part of love, that mm. tough love, he was repellent to mm. them. Mm. Those that understood that more was probably his closest, the people that was closest to him.
Mm.
And so having him not be here, I'm probably gonna miss that the most out of
right.
him,
right.
And that I feel like there's a lot of people that didn't really get a chance to know him on that level,
mm-hmm.
And that sucks
right.
for me.
Yeah.
So even with this hip hop day, I knew some of the vision that he had, even though it didn't rub a lot of people the way that they wanted it to rub, because they didn't. They would never talk to him and get his vision,
right.
You know. But me understanding that is one of the main reasons why this hip hop day is so significant,
right?
Because it's built on the fact that that man left here loving the city of Portland. He had NEP on his back.
Mm-hmm.
He repped it to the fullest, and Hip Hop Day would not be here if he hadn't put in the work for it. Now other people are being able to benefit
right.
from it. And one of the things that he said when he was lying in the bed in the hospital was that he's like, man, I don't have any enemies.
Mm.
He said, this experience has shown me that anything that I thought I might have had, you know, with people is not important.
Mm.
And I was happy that he got to that place before right. Before he left. But you think just a year prior, he was in the hospital with me,
right,
with my battle with cancer.
Right.
And it
right.
wasn't sure if I was going to make it through.
Right.
And he was there almost every day coming to see me while he was sick
right.
and wasn't telling people.
Wasn't telling people.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So that just kind of showed you the character that he had. He was loyal to a fault.
Mm.
And so to watch him on the flip side, you know, being a vulnerable position, but mm-hmm. yet still like, yeah, like I'm telling him, man, you know, God got you, man. He's like looking at me like, yeah. And he said, but man, and I'm just cracking up laughing. I was like, right. you just going to go exactly the way you want to go
yeah.
right, man? And, you know, that he left on mic check day. You know, it was like, okay, man, you're going to hold on until mic check day.
Right.
You're going to make your going to be that significant. That
right.
was just the kind of guy he was. So
that's amazing.
He'll be missed. His legacy, man, goes to me a lot deeper than, you know, the things externally that he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the behind the scenes things, like being at men's group, mentoring young boys, and he wasn't out in the public. He wasn't, no, you didn't see him, you know, right, making a big deal. It's just what he did, you know. He was that dude that, little in stature, everybody know he's a little dude, but he was that dude that if somebody's being picked on, he gonna go and go to battle for him.
That's that line.
You know what I mean? He's gonna be that guy. And so, again, he'll be missed, but, you know, those that, you know, really valued who he was as a person, you know, they'll continue his legacy, right, by with the things that they carry from the relationship that he established with them.
Not yet. So it's funny you said that, because I when I did talk to Star Child a couple years ago about trying to get these conversations started, he didn't know what it was at first. He was like, "Oh man, you know, I got to charge this. I got to charge." You know what I'm saying? And I told him what it was about. He said, "Oh, it's for the kids. Oh, I don't charge for that at all."
Right.
He switched his whole. I was like, "That's crazy." Right. He said, "Oh, it's for the kids. I don't charge for that at all." You know, but we almost about to close up. But real quick, you touched on something. I'm glad you did, because you talked about, you know, you had to battle cancer last year. And so I do understand that you at one point you lost 80% of your eyesight.
I still can't see out of my left eye. And people don't realize, you know, they see me out doing what I'm doing. They don't realize I got a colostomy bag that I function with. I've had 6 surgeries. I got another one next month that I have to deal with. My whole right arm and it's hand is damage. In pain every day. So imagine someone setting fire to your hand and there's nothing you can do about it but let it burn.
Right.
That's sitting here. That's what I feel. I only can see out of one eye and only like 80% now out of that eye. I'm considered disabled.
Right. But yet and still.
But yet.
Man. You're still and here. Still. You're acting like ain't nothing wrong.
Right,
you pushing. You working. You got a full schedule.
I got work to do, man.
So my question is, man, has this changed? Has this altered the way you think about anything at all? About life, about time, about living, about...
Yes.
I mean, about people. Has this changed your idea of what you want to do or how you see anything?
It definitely has put a lot of things in perspective. Like, you know, I felt like I was focused before any of this happened.
Right.
But one of the things that happened to me over this last year is it exposed for me how much time I was wasting in a lot of good things. That's the trick. Not bad things, great things, and how I had to become very laser focused now on how I spent my time. And the question always had to come, because before I would jump, anybody want me to do things, a lot of things, especially if it related to community, I was on it. So now I had to get back to say, okay, I no longer can even physically spread myself like that. So everything that I do, from this talk show to anything you see me do, from whatever events, I always have to ask myself, what is the impact? What is the most impact that I can do in doing this? You know, first, the accountability for me is God. You know, for me is, how can God be glorified in what I'm about to do?
Right.
And if I can't, if I can't figure that out, I don't do it, even if it's good.
I'm a humble answer. So should we be we should be very grateful right now, man. Thank you for coming down. We really appreciate that, man.
Man.
But that's deep. But I figured that, you know, I was just asking because, you know, not to touch on sensitive subjects, but I know that certain situations can change the way you see life. I think it's very important that we just all heard that about time. Because now I'm looking at myself. Right. I mean, I know you are too.
I had to write it like the sheet.
I got to cancel some meetings right now.
Right. Immediately.
We got time for one call, man. Yeah. Maybe. Oh, wait.
So just right quick, just to pull it back up right quick. You know, I got a couple questions.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So we're going to jump in. What's your go-to karaoke song?
I don't like karaoke.
Well, if right now they was like, we doing the karaoke, this is for the kids.
For the kids.
What song would you do?
That's a good one.
Keeping quick on his toes all night, listeners.
Right.
I would have to say, that's a good one. Cause I got so many songs that
I know how you gonna ask a DJ that.
Yeah,
I just thought about
so many
that.
Songs, so it's like, okay, depending on where I'm at, you know, at the time, but
you got it.
I could tell one of my man.
See?
One of the songs that I will say that got me kind of through a lot of this last past year has been No Weapons. By Fred Hammond.
Okay.
It was No Weapons. And a constant remind me that no matter what I go through, that it's all for good.
Right.
Even if I can't see what the good is going to be at the time, that I was built to endure because of who I believe in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now next, we got Neapolitan ice cream in front of you. A big
Ooh.
Tub of it. Which flavor are you going for first?
That's a hard one because I love vanilla, I love Neapolitan ice cream and I always mixed it.
You can only pick one?
Yeah.
Like I always mix it.
Where is it
I
going
could
first?
Never I could never eat any individual one. I always the first thing I would do is mix it. It was something about that mix that I would love better than eating one particular, you know, and I don't even like chocolate ice cream, so that just tells you.
But you mix it.
That mix with I like strawberry though.
See, that's my go-to.
Is that in the middle? Is that middle?
Usually it'd be left or right.
Yeah.
Vanilla is usually in the
middle. Strawberry man is my go-to.
All right, we can do a quick call.
We can take a call.
We got time for one call. Let Carl in. Carl, you there?
Yep.
All right, we only got a couple minutes. Carl, speak on it, man.
I'll give some thoughts, and the first one is amen to everything that you all was talking about. And then just, you know, I guess my summary of, you know, what you do with your life is giving and sharing the love that you've received versus, you know, the other side of the coin is trying to, you know, get the things of the world that are, you know, they're just stuff. They don't count really. But let's see. The other thought I had was, you know, you were talking about people that say, "I don't care," and you know, I've heard that from, you know, whether it's some young black kid in Portland or some poor white kid in Alabama or something. But kind of the same thing where, you know, they don't really see an opportunity for themselves, which is, you know, unfortunate. But that, you know, I think that when you can come to an understanding that there's an opportunity in every instant and every human and every situation that you encounter. Hmm. You know, and that's, you know, I think we know that, but it's, you know, it's for us to share that with those people so that they can come to that understanding. And then the last thought I had is kind of a thought I've had before, but that just the character of black folks that take advantage of the opportunity to learn from the situation, you know, learn from the life that they live in this society as black people. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much there that can just enhance a human being if, you know, if you can learn how to embrace it. Anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you. One thing I'd say, and thank you for that input. He made the statement that, you know, give the love that's been given to you. I used to think that way. Mm. And that would get crushed every time I run into situations where I wasn't getting love. I felt like I wasn't getting love.
Then
all of a sudden, do my love stop? Do I stop showing people love? So my statement is that show the love that people deserve.
Right.
No matter if it's getting returned to you, you show the love that people deserve.
Right.
Treat people how they want to be treated.
Right.
Not treat people how you want to be treated,
because
then it's all about you.
Right.
There's an agenda. Treat people the way that you know they should be treated. Loved and respect. don't matter what they give back to you. By default, you'll find it. It'll come to you.
Right. And as a final thought, one thing I learned about love and expectations, you know, is the disappointment and not getting. I mean, so many people are disappointed by that. And one philosophy that worked for me that keep me sane is realizing that people don't pay you back, but the universe always do.
Tell them. So,
with that being said, OG One, man, thank you so much, man.
Thank you guys. Thank you, brothers, man, for having me. Appreciate you, allowing me to share.
Thank you for sharing, bro. We'll be back with you, man. Okay, I got more to talk to you about.
Anytime.
Make sure y'all check us out on the socials.
Oh yeah, socials.
Go ahead, list them off, my brother.
Okay, Instagram at Calculated Conversation, Facebook Calculated Conversation Radio Show, Twitter Calculated Talk, email
Calculated Conversation at Gmail. And the website, if you type in www.calculatedconversation.com, it'll take you somewhere. Go check it out and see where it takes you.
Somewhere. Let's see what they got for you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. One love. Next Tuesday, 7 p.m., we shall continue.
Yes.
Peace.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock and next will be The Melting Pot. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio cordially invites you to the Women of KBOO Celebration and Open House on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's here at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Join us for the open house and an evening of on-air programming hosted by Barbara Bernstein and featuring Carol Major, Victoria Stapiello, and Maureen Key. We're celebrating the contribution of women volunteers, DJs, on-air hosts, staff, and board members in making KBOO what it is today. Light snacks and drinks will be provided. Everyone is welcome. Again, that's the Women of KBOO Celebration and Open House. It's on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Southeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 35th